Before the music portion of South by Southwest this year, the Austin Convention Center was filled to the beams with digital creatives. The interactive festival attracted thousands of technology entrepreneurs. Startup companies launched applications, and veterans shook up their business models. One of the established.com companies represented was the very popular news collection website Dig. Its founder, Kevin Rose, and the Dig team put on a raucous party at South by Southwest for the site's most loyal, hardcore users. Above the roar of the crowd, Dig CEO Jay Adelson previewed some dramatic changes to the website and talked about Dig's mission.
Now, when Kevin and I sit around the offices and we talk to each other about what Dig is all about, we use, words inside the company. We don't use this with the press or anything else, but we say to each other, Dig's vision is to ensure and to enable the social curation of the world's content and the conversation around it. I know that's really long and boring. Probably don't want to hear that. Let me say that again. The social curation of the world's content and the conversation around it.
The next morning, we met up with Jay Adelson at the historic Driscoll Hotel in downtown Austin. I wanted to know more about his background. He said that in college, he had been a communications geek and was naturally attracted to the computer's potential. Adelson's goal was to connect the news media and their consumers.
The key being crowdsourcing. So we're going to let the entire planet tell us what stories are most relevant to those users. And you'll see them all over the internet, these little buttons next to articles. You know, you'll see them on websites like the New York Times or, you know, NPR or elsewhere. And if you click that button, you're basically sending a signal to Dig that you care about that topic. It doesn't necessarily mean you agree with the content. It's just a signal. And we collect it all using crowd wisdom, and we put some magic behind that, some algorithms and math, and then we bubble up to the surface the stuff that's interesting.
Yeah. How has Dig changed from its official launch? What was it then? What is it now?
Dig originally had this, you know, one-size-fits-all homepage of stories, where if something was qualified, it made it to the homepage. That was fine when you had 10,000 like-minded individuals. But when you have 40 million and the content skyrockets, what you really need to do is figure out a way to break that up so that if you have particular interests, you have your homepage and someone else with different interests has theirs. Now, every user will have their own personalized experience on Dig as they enter it. And furthermore, every type of content, instead of having a fixed taxonomy of topics, any word can be its own category and its own Dig site. And we'll go ahead and allow users to experience and share it.
What do you see as your future goal? What do you see as the next mountain to climb?
You know, I think that we have to give the media back to the people. And I think that there's a big problem here where, you know, whether it's governments owning the press or even just press being driven by sensationalism and finances, that you really have sort of a world knowledge that is dictated by these other factors that don't always align with truth. So I believe that if we give the press back to the people worldwide, I think it can have a positive impact on things like democracy, giving a voice to everyone in the world. And maybe, just maybe, if we can expose truth, oppression can be lifted.
But not all user information is true, or accurate, or sourced, or even edited.
You're absolutely right that left on its own, anyone's voice has no traditional journalistic checks and balances. There's no question that there's going to be more voices. And we know there isn't enough editors in the world to curate all of this content. So Dig's philosophy is the only way we're going to do it is by crowdsourcing the actual curation and editorial, saying, okay, look, two people aren't going to be able to tell you if it's true or not. Millions can. So if I say, look, here's this crazy guy's opinion on a blog, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's been tested by the public.
Do you think you're a rock star?
A rock star? No.
Well, I mean, I was hearing about the Dig Nation party, man.
Oh, well. Now, I should clarify something about the Dig Nation party. So there is a show that another company I started called Revision 3. Revision 3 makes these television shows that are aired all over the internet, and they have millions of viewers. It's really an interesting and successful model. Sorry. That model produced this one show called Dig Nation. It happens to be about Dig. I mean, from the standpoint that two people, in this case, Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht, will sit on a couch, drink beer, and talk about their favorite stories on Dig.
Yes, this is David Prager, jug of beer as well.
Montello!
Here we go, David Prager, hippie Glenn Hewitt. I'm doing it, what? I'm just like Alex to be like, okay, I'm going to moderate this contest.
Alex, you son of a monkey or something.
Maybe they're more of the rock star. I think of it that way.
There's a story that I read about your parents who owned a store.
That's right.
And to a certain extent, your fiscal philosophy came from them. Can you tell us about that?
That's, yes, sure. My parents, Sheldon and Elaine, when I grew up, first they were school teachers initially, and then my father inherited a small electric supply business in Detroit, and at the time it was a very small and struggling business. But his goals were to build sustainability. You know, this idea of the family business is something that can stay afloat, make the family, you know, secure, feed the kids, so to speak. And really, it should be about creating that kind of sustainable model. Now, the problem with venture investing and the problem with a lot of these startups is that is not the intent when they're built. Their intent to flip, their intent to create millions, their intent for these giant exits. And what I found is that if you can focus on those elements of sustainability, I think that the irony is, I think you end up with the bigger exit anyway. Now, what those governing principles are towards sustainability, I mean, I could spend all day talking about that.
But you managed to kind of miss the dot-com bust because of your fiscal model and your fiscal philosophy.
There's some truth to that. I could be wealthier, but the truth is my passions for what I do have driven my choices in vocation. My passions for having an impact on the world, for seeing whether or not my efforts can have a more long-term impact. The way I look at it is I have the rest of my life to kind of build something, you know, that makes me wealthy.
Jay Adelson, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, my pleasure to join you.